The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to
This is
Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
So Kristen and Scott just got back from a rather unique cruise adventure because they did two different cruises. They did a Coral Princess cruise, that's a princess cruise ship, and also a Ruby Princess cruise, which obviously is another princess cruise ship. Kristen joins us on the line. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Doug.
So I got to say, in 10 years of doing this, I've never had one of these kind of interviews before. So we're going to just play this one by ear and fly by the seat of our pants here. We'll start it off, as always, getting some pre-cruise thoughts. Two different cruise ships, two different itineraries. What was the thought behind this?
So to understand why we put together these two cruises, you have to understand that Princess's loyalty program goes by either number of cruises or number of days at sea. So we're currently at platinum status, which is the second highest level. To get to the highest level tier, which is elite, you need either 15 cruises or 150 days at sea. So coming into this cruise, we had had 10 cruises on Princess. So we were trying to figure out how can we get to elite status quicker. And one of the ways that's fairly popular and very convenient if you live on the West Coast is to do their Pacific Coastals or California Coastal cruises, which can be one night up to a full, you know, a full regular cruise, 7 nights if you want. But they do a lot of short cruises, 2, 3, 4 days. So it obviously doesn't make a lot of economic sense living in St. Louis to fly out for such a short cruise. So what we tried to do is to figure out how could we combine a couple of them, cobble together our own itinerary, either spend time ahead of the cruise or in between the segments or at the end in the various embarkation or disembarkation ports. And so that's what we ended up doing. So we flew into L.A. We spent a night pre-cruise in L.A. Then we did the Coral Princess cruise, which was 3 nights from L.A. to Vancouver. No port stops, all sea days. Then we spent 2 nights in Vancouver. And then we took a 1-night cruise on Ruby Princess from Vancouver to Seattle. So that got us 2 cruises closer towards elite status. So that's the background as to why we picked these specific cruises and how we ended up putting together this whole vacation itinerary.
Okay, so you embarked Coral Princess. I'm just trying to connect the dots here. You embarked Coral Princess in L.A.
Right. So we were in the San Pedro embarkation.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And how was that embarkation process for you?
We were in the pier that you are the Pier 92, which was interesting because it's got a lot of they don't have physical buildings. It's like big tents. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of strange because actually Ruby Princess was in port also, and she had the bigger pier. So she got the good pier. But we'd heard some kind of mixed stories about embarkation in San Pedro. We've only done it once before. It was many years ago when we did a Mexican Riviera cruise. So we didn't really remember what our experience was like. We actually got through embarkation really quick. We got there about 11 o'clock and we were through security and embarkation air into the waiting area by about 11:15. And actually we didn't even have time to sit down because they immediately had started calling for all elite and all platinum because we get preferred priority embarkation. They'd already started boarding those groups. So we just basically kept on walking and walked right on board the ship.
And was your experience about the same when you went to embark Ruby in Vancouver?
Not exactly. Vancouver was sort of chaos because there were three ships total in port in Vancouver. And it was the beginning This is right at the beginning, right, of Alaska cruising season. So they hadn't quite figured out their processes, so to speak. So you had different people saying, well, no, you need to line up here to start the embarkation line. Or if you have luggage, you need to go over here. It was really kind of chaos. In fact, we knew it seemed like the people in line more what was going on than the actual staff people in the Vancouver cruise terminal. So that was pretty chaotic. We got on board. Let's see. We got on board for Ruby. So let's see. We got to the port about 10:30, and we weren't able to get on board until about 11:20. So it definitely took some time. We spent quite a bit of time standing in line in the bottom part of the cruise terminal.
Coral Princess is about 5 years older or so than Ruby Princess. Comparing your first impressions between the two, what did you think?
This was our first time sailing Coral, and it was our second time sailing Ruby. We'd been on Coral's sister ship Island for our Alaska cruise 13 years ago. So it had been quite some time since we'd sailed on that class of ship. Ruby we'd sailed in back in 2014 for our Canada-New England cruise. So it was that was much more recent. Coral is really a wonderful ship in terms of the size of the ship and the number of passengers. I don't know the exact statistics, but I've read before that in terms of the per passenger public space ratio, that Island and Coral have one of the highest in the fleet. And it was really quite noticeable. You really felt like you'd walk around the ship and you'd really feel like, where is everybody? I have this whole ship to myself. It's really got some nice appeal from that perspective. Ruby, of course, like I said, we'd been on once before. So that was fairly familiar in terms of coming on board for embarkation. There were some new enhanced features, particularly in dining, that we were anxious to check out. So that was definitely kind of our focus with Ruby.
All right, so let's talk about the staterooms. And since we're kind of tracking here with Coral and Ruby, let's talk about the staterooms on the two ships.
So on Coral, we had originally booked what was called an obstructed view, ocean view stateroom on Emerald Deck. But then about 3 months prior to sailing, a Princess offered us an upgrade. Cost $78, and we could upgrade to a premium view balcony stateroom on Carib Deck. So we opted to do that, and we enjoyed that. This was finally our first opportunity to be on a ship that has the new Princess bed. I forgot what their tagline is for it. The luxury bed, I guess that's what it's called. So we've managed to miss it on our last several cruises in terms of the schedule of rollout. So finally we got a chance to try the new luxury bed, and it is wonderful, fantastic. So that was definitely a highlight of the cabin. It's got a nice new big flat screen TV on the wall, which is great. It's otherwise a fairly typical balcony stateroom for Princess. It of course, unfortunately, has the dreaded shower curtain, mm-hmm. as opposed to a nice glass door. And the showers on this particular class ship, and I remember this from our cruise on Island Princess, I think they're literally the smallest postage stamp size shower of any cruise ship that I've been on. So we enjoyed them. I wish the weather was not super ideal for spending a lot of time out on the deck. We didn't have rain, but it was rather overcast, oftentimes breezy, and air temperatures, I think, were probably in the 50s mm-hmm. for most of the cruise. So we didn't hang out on our balcony a lot, but it was nice. Now with Ruby, we took a different approach. Since it was only a one night cruise, we decided, well, you know, let's just go for an inside cabin. But we picked a particular type of inside cabin that I'd read a lot about. It's what I call it, the sideways stateroom. So if you look on a deck plan, you'll see that instead of the cabins, you know, when you walk down the hallway, you walk into the stateroom, and to your left is the desk built into the wall, the desk area. The bed then is to your left, and then there was a really spacious walking area between the bed and then to your right, and then there was a wall of closet space, lots of closet space, and then you kept walking So this would be the T part, I guess, if you're looking at it into the bathroom. Hmm. So it's a unique kind of a unique layout. Like I said, I've read folks who have really liked that layout, what I called the sideways inside stateroom. So like I said, we thought we'd try it, and it was really actually surprising how much space. You know, I think, you know, depending upon the itinerary, I might certainly consider it. I usually prefer an outside window or balcony, of course, just from the light factor. You know, an inside stateroom, you never know if it's day or night, which is kind of disorienting. But like I said, it was pretty spacious. Also had the luxury bed because that had been rolled out to Ruby Princess, so we got to enjoy that again. It certainly fit the bill for a one night cruise.
So I'm curious, how much dining did you get to squeeze in between the two cruises?
So with the three night cruise on Coral, we decided we wanted to do at least two of the nights we were going to do specialty dining. Coral and Island have what's called the Bayou Cafe and Steakhouse. So instead of, if you're familiar with Princess ships, you know that they typically have a Crown Grill. That's usually what their steakhouse is called. So on Coral and Island, it's different. It's Bayou. It's a whole New Orleans kind of theme for the ship, so it's unique from that perspective. So we definitely wanted to do that. And then Coral also has Sabatini's, the Italian restaurant, and we had not been to Sabatini's since they came out with what I'll call menu version 3.0. So we hadn't tried that whole new menu that Sabatini's offered. So we did that. We were hoping they were going to offer Crab Shack, because I know that it's spotlighted as being offered on that ship. But I guess with only the three night itinerary, they chose not to do that. So we ended up for the last night. They were having Indian featured food in the buffet. So we just decided to keep it casual and do the buffet for the third night. So that's what we ended up doing for the dinner for Coral. One other thing that we did do, besides just kind of doing the buffet, like you typically often do for breakfast or lunch, is they offered I mentioned Sabatini's, at lunch, they have a complimentary, they have an adapted menu from Alfredo's Pizzeria. So on the Royal Class ships of Princess, folks will know that there's a whole separate complimentary restaurant called Alfredo's, and they do pizzas, some delicious pastas, I think some salads as well. And so they actually did an abbreviated menu, unfortunately not the pastas, but they did offer many more pizza options than what you can normally just get at the pizzeria on board. So they do that for lunch at Sabatini's, and again, at no charge. And so that's kind of maybe a tip I'd give folks. Check that out. If you have a Sabatini's on your ship, they may be offering, and it's not a Royal Class ship, they may be offering the Alfredo's menu as an option. So that was nice. Ruby, of course, you know, being only one night, we of course just went with the buffet for a few things for lunch. But what we really wanted to do was try part of the upgrades that had happened to Ruby since we'd last sailed her. Mm-hmm. Was they had expanded the on-deck pizzeria and renamed it. So now it's called Slice. And in addition to the classic pizza that we all know and love for on Princess, they also offered bruschetta, if you want, caprese toast, which is what I had, which was delicious. And I do think they had avocado toast for those who are fans of that. I think they had one other option as well. So that was really nice to have a few more choices. They also took the burger grill, and they have renamed that too to be the Salty Dog Grill. So they offer some expanded options there as well, which is nice. And then for dinner, we had decided we had not been on a ship that had the Salty Dog Gastropub. And what that is they take a corner of the Wheelhouse Bar and they've converted it into a small little restaurant seating area with the Salty Dog Gastropub menu. So that's for a cover charge of $12. You got to choose an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. And this is where, for those who are familiar with the Salty Dog, that the probably the most popular item that's come out of that menu is what's called the Ernesto Burger. It's gotten a lot of accolades for being one of the best burgers at sea. Now, I haven't done the whole Guy's Burger thing personally, so I can't compare that. But Scott did have the Ernesto Burger, and he certainly raved about it. So that's what we ended up doing for dinner on our one night on Ruby.
The gastropub you went to, you were just talking about, is the Wheelhouse Bar the same place they do the fish and chips for lunch?
Yes, that okay. is where often, for instance, on a typical maybe 7-night cruise, where you have maybe 2 or 3 sea days, at least one of those sea days, they will offer complimentary, English pub lunch in the Wheelhouse Bar. Yep.
Have you ever done the Crab Shack?
Yes, we did the Crab Shack. On it might have been Ruby Princess. I think it might have been. We've done it one time. We really enjoyed it. It was really good food. So like I said, I was kind of excited to get a chance to have it again. I was kind of bummed that they didn't offer it on that third night.
As far as the entertainment on the two sailings, we'll start with Coral because that seemed to be the longest one. How was that between Coral and Ruby?
So we went to one, I think they only offered, if I remember right, only one production show on the 3-night Coral sailing. It was called Encore. And it was okay. It was really more kind of a collection of songs. Surprisingly, I'd say maybe a third of which were Italian or opera, which I was a little surprised at. I certainly sort of kind of maybe expected that thing, kind of entertainment maybe more on the MSC cruise that we did last year than Princess. But they had a guest soprano. She was amazing. But overall, it was just kind of wasn't one of my favorite production shows. They had a late night comedian on that cruise that we went to. And we also went to hear the piano player a couple times in Crooner's Bar. But that was the entertainment for Coral. Now, Ruby was fun because they had brought on board Carlos Oscar, who was one of the past year's Princess Entertainer of the Year. And I know we've seen him before on another cruise. I can't remember which one. So I knew when I saw his name, like, I knew he was going to be good. And he was quite funny. They didn't offer a production show the one night. They had some kind of a performer in the Princess Theater, but we didn't go to see her.
Okay. And then on sea days, I guess you really didn't have any on Ruby, so we'll talk about Coral. How was it as far as crowds and congestion?
Well, like I mentioned, the passenger space ratio on this ship is really quite amazing. So we didn't really have any problems finding places on board. Again, with the weather being kind of we didn't really spend a lot of time outdoors. One day we did spend some time in the indoor pool area. And again, didn't have any problems trying to find a lounger. I'd say the only time that it was congested was the library on board the Coral. And this was the case on the island. I assume it still is definitely the best library of any of the Princess ships that I've been on. They have about 8 leather club chair and footstools. And the library faces out to the promenade deck. Mm-hmm. So it's just wonderful to be able to sit in these comfy, cozy little leather chairs, read your book, listen to your music, watch the sea go by. It was one of my favorite places on board island. So I was really excited to finally get a chance to go back to the library. But of course, being, like I said, with weather kind of being, it was fairly popular.
Yeah.
So had to wait a couple times to get one of those primo chairs in the library. But other than that, like I said, no issues trying to find space on board the ship. It's really quite remarkable. Like I said, you really wonder if is the ship sailing full or not? And maybe it wasn't. I'm not sure how popular the 3-night cruise was, but it certainly got to enjoy a very relaxed feel on board.
On either ship, did you notice the cigarette smoke being a little too strong in or around the casino?
I don't honestly remember us walking by the casino all that much. So, no, I don't really remember anything specifically in for either ship. Yeah, not specifically.
You know how people will say, I didn't learn this ship until the last day of the cruise? Were either of these ships like that?
I'd say they're fairly easy to navigate. I think the most of the main features of the ships are usually found in the same places. Now, as they've done some kind of retrofits of things over the years, some things are different. Like, for instance, not this most recent, but I guess the big dry dock before this, where they put in, and I guess they took away some, I guess they maybe took the casino bar and they converted it into the International Cafe, which is a very popular feature on board the Princess ships. But it was really strange for it to be next to the casino on, I guess, maybe that was the promenade deck, as opposed to being down in the piazza, in the atrium, which is where you always find the International Cafe
right.
on any other Princess ship, really, that has that. So I guess they felt like they didn't have space, I guess, to put it in the piazza on board this ship, and they chose to put it up by the casino. So that was always kind of jarring to me. I'm like, wait a minute, it's not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. Coral has a couple unique features. The most unique feature, I would say, is now it is now the only ship, because they made horrendous changes to Island and got rid of it. But the back of the ship has a two-deck, what's called the Universe Lounge. So it's a smaller show theater. I mean, it's really got a pretty big stage area. That's where we had bingo. Not sure what other specific activities they offered in there. I know it was used a lot, but it's a kind of a really unique lounge that you don't find on any other ship in the fleet. But other than that, like I said, usually if you know your way around, if you've been on other Princess ships, it'll be pretty familiar to you, the layout.
So as far as disembarkation, I want to talk about Ruby Princess first, because you actually boarded in Vancouver. And don't you clear customs before you board the ship in Vancouver for the U.S.?
We did not clear customs before we boarded. Mm-hmm. We had to clear customs after we got to Seattle. We got off the ship. We chose to get off fairly early because we were actually going to meet up with friends of Scott's who actually had arrived on Norwegian Joy into Seattle. So we really wanted to get off the ship pretty quick. So we got off, did self-assist, and we got off about 8 o'clock. And we got through customs in Seattle by about 8:30. Now, we had friends that we were sailing with, they tried to get off the ship, I think maybe an hour or so later, and something happened. I don't know if this was it's the beginning of the season and working out the logistical operational processes or whatnot, but something happened somehow with paperwork, and they were stuck trying to get through customs in Seattle and get out for about 3 hours or so. Mm. It was horrendous. So I'm not exactly sure what all happened there. I'm just thankful that we got ourselves off the ship quickly and we were out. And we were out by about 8:30. So.
And for Coral Princess, how was debark in Vancouver?
So for Coral, we also just decided to do walk off. So again, we got off the ship about 8 o'clock. That was even faster. We were off. We were through customs in Vancouver by about 8:15, and we got a taxi to the hotel that we were going to stay at for the two nights. And we were in the hotel by like 8:30 in the morning.
Wow!
So yeah, it was quite quick.
Where did y'all stay in Vancouver?
So we stayed at the Sunset Inn and Suites,
okay,
which is a couple blocks off of Davie Avenue in the West End area. So it was really nice. We really, really enjoyed the hotel. It was a tremendous value. We had this beautiful, beautiful suite with full kitchen and nice big king size bed, big living and dining room area. And it was a really great value for considering how pricey Vancouver downtown hotels can be. And it was great for we could walk to a lot of things. It was really nicely located. So we were kind of off. We were away from kind of the hustle and bustle areas. So it was very quiet, kind of tucked away kind of in a residential neighborhood, but yet still convenient to get around.
All right. So let's wrap up the interview here with some final tips. Do you have any tips to offer? We'll start with Coral Princess.
Well, first of all, definitely if you see the Alfredo's Pizzeria lunch option being offered in Sabatini's, take advantage of that. We also found out that if you're a fan of the tiramisu martini, the only bar that you can get that on board the ship is in the Bayou Steakhouse. And so we found out about that too late after the bar had closed. So we missed out on our chance to have the tiramisu martini, which I understand is really wonderful. And then we were really hoping to see, I mentioned this Universe Lounge and how it's kind of cannot really do production shows. They actually have, again, unique to Coral because of the whole New Orleans theming. It's called By the Bayou. But I guess because we only had a 3-night cruise, they chose not to offer it. So I imagine that if you were on a more standard length cruise, you'd have a chance to see that production show. So again, since that's unique to Coral, I would certainly recommend it. I've heard wonderful things about it and was bummed we didn't get to see it.
Okay. And how about for Ruby?
For Ruby. So again, obviously for a 1-night cruise, unless you live out there, and that's kind of the vibe that you got, I think with a 1-night cruise, it was sort of like hello and goodbye all in the same, the same time for a 1-night cruise. So a lot of people were local, either live in Seattle or live in Vancouver, and then they were just going to either take Amtrak or, you know, bus back up to whatever their respective city is. But it's a nice option to combine it. Like I said, if you can combine it with another cruise like we did to try to accelerate your way to for higher loyalty status, it's a nice opportunity to do that. Ruby has a lot of great features. Certainly, the Salty Dog Gastropub was really nice. And it was really nice to see the expanded and enhanced dining options on deck for the pizzeria and the grill. So definitely would recommend you take advantage of those as well.
Very good. By the way, you stayed at you stayed on the Queen Mary, right, in Long Beach?
We did, yes. So
what
that was our pre-night cruise. Yes, let's start the cruise vacation by staying on a former cruise ship, the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Yeah, we had never done that before. So we did do that for 1 night. We had a good time, enjoyed exploring the ship. We did all there's 3 different guided tours that they offer, and we did all of those. It was, you know, obviously a great historical factor. So if you're a cruise buff, and you know, I would certainly recommend you do it once. You know, it doesn't have the same perhaps amenities, comfort level that, you know, nice modern hotels have. So you know, you got to keep that in mind. I don't know that I would want to stay on board in the peak of summertime because the temperature controls aren't really there, at least in the kind of room we stayed in, which I think was the same one you did.
Yeah.
So if it was really, really super hot in LA, that might be a little uncomfortable being on board. But yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're into the history of ocean liners and cruising and whatnot, it's definitely something that you gotta check off a bucket list item to do it. So
yeah, the AC thing was kind of interesting because like at nighttime it was hot in our room, and so we called the front desk and like, oh, we control it from up here. So they turned the AC on, and then like at 4 o'clock in the morning we woke up shivering pretty much, so we asked them to turn it off, and then we were like roasting again. So yeah, it's interesting to see how the climate kind of impacts the whole overall stay. So yeah, I think in the summertime I definitely wouldn't want to be on that thing at all. But the tour, though, I mean, well, I did 3 of the tours as well, like you did. And that one tour, the engine room tour, how cool was that?
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, definitely. And if you stay, if you stay at the on board, or I think actually if you just come on board to dine at one of the restaurants, you can get what they call the all access pass for $25, which is a discount of, I don't know, maybe $5 or so, or 10, if compared to buying all three of the tours individually. So yeah, that's definitely the way to go if you're really wanting to maximize and learn everything about the history of the ship, the features, the structure, the construction of the ship. And of course, there's as people well know, its reputation for being a haunted ship. Not that we saw any spirits while we were touring, but it's kind of fun to hear the stories that have occurred on board the ship. So.
Did they tell you about the guy who tried to jump through the water tight door and it cut him in half?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yep.
I really wanted to see the swimming pool, but they had that closed off for, I guess, renovation whenever we were staying on it.
Yeah, we couldn't. Yeah, you could go up to the door, the locked doors that have windows in them, right? And you could, and they had lights in the swimming pool area, so you could see some illumination in the pool area. But yeah, that's as much as you could see of the pool. Yeah.
All right, Kristen, well, let's wrap this up. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your stay on Coral Princess for the 3-night cruise and the 1-night cruise on Ruby Princess. Great insight, and thank you again.
Always a pleasure to talk cruising with you, Doug.
Very fascinating way to expedite your loyalty status by just jumping on a small back-to-back cruise like that, if the cruise line does count per sailing and not days. So with that said, if you have a way to expedite your loyalty status, I'd love to share it with the audience. Let me know, Doug@cruiseradio.net. And thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you Thursday. Take care.